6 seconds left. Halla gets it up top. Marcius over to the right. Big shot! Score! Shea Theodore! Vegas takes the lead 4-3! 2.3 to go! Perron to the circle. He shoots and scores! David Perron wins it! Up top for Kopitar. Feet to the right. Shot! Stopped by Fleury!
Shea Theodore is fourth and a huge hit by McNabb. He leveled Arvidsson. Wow.
Here's Howell into the zone. Howell left side, drop pass, big shot, score! It's John Merrill! Merrill puts Vegas on top 2-1!
And welcome into the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show on a Friday. Game day, Minnesota Wild coming to town for game number 71. They are 39-24-7, 85 points on the ledger against your Vegas Golden Knights, 45-20-5, 95 points high atop the Pacific Division. Clayton Hamilton to Frank Harnisch back at it. After a day of rest, we only had to go to practice yesterday. Got to relax a little bit in the afternoon and back at it again today.
Yeah, and you sure it's Friday? Because it seems weird with having a day off yesterday.
Yeah, it's weird.
Not being in here.
It's
so,
a weird,
but,
odd
but no
Thursday
game,
off.
No the other stuff. But yeah, it's a no. I actually watched a little bit of the basketball, but I also watched the Kings beat Detroit last night and some of the other hockey action as well. So you know, there's never really a day off of hockey because I just love watching the sports. And boy, Detroit, what a dumb penalty at the end of that game. I mean, it looks like a blowout. Detroit was right in it right up till the end, but. When you get a penalty and you're down two goals and then you pull your goalie anyhow, it's almost given the other team an empty netter. So it looks like 4-1, looks like a blowout, but it wasn't that way. But, you know, the Kings fighting for that playoff spot. Detroit, they haven't had a great season.
I watched a 4-1 game that looked like a 4-1 game, and that was the Colorado Avalanche over the uninspired St. Louis Blues on home ice. Couldn't get anything going.
Well, see, I still don't understand St. Louis for the life of me. I don't know why they got rid of Stastny when they were so close and right in the mix for the playoff spot. I don't know how you do that to the team, to the coaches, and mostly to the fan base. They were right in this thing, and then they actually played well after that because the team was kind of rallying around them, but it doesn't look like they're going to be in the playoffs, and they really don't deserve to be. But I maybe it plays out a couple years down the road or whatever. I just didn't understand that move when they did it this year. I don't think it's fair to anybody. If I'm a season ticket holder, I'm not happy.
You know what I did like that St. Louis did this year? They left David Perron exposed in the draft. I sure have liked watching him play.
I have enjoyed watching him play. I've enjoyed talking to him, and I have a much greater appreciation for everything that he does on the ice than I did when he was with the Blues. When he was with the Blues, I watched him, but I watched him in parting. And usually I was watching him against the Blackhawks because I used to watch all the Blackhawk games. But now it's, yeah, I mean, he does a lot of different things. He's also a leader. He's not the most vocal leader in the locker room and that kind of stuff, but he is a leader in many different ways.
We got a big show today. We're going to have some tickets to the Minnesota Wild game tonight. So stick close if you're driving around on the west side near the station here. Stick right by your phones because we're going to give those tickets away here pretty soon. We also have Andrew Ferentz, just recently joined the NHL as a director of social impact, former player with the Penguins, Flames, Bruins, Oilers, a guy that's hoisted the cup. He's going to join us here in the second segment. We're going to talk about some news. Pretty heavy day, but it is game day, and it is time for your Vegas Golden Knights game day preview brought to you by Raikman Plumbing and Air Conditioning, where a flush beats a full house every time. And the Minnesota Wild will become the last team, Frank, in the NHL to see T-Mobile Arena. It'll be our third contest with them. The first two did not go well. They were both up at the XL Energy Center, though, in Minneapolis. Back on February 2nd, a 5-2 victory for the Wild. And way back on November 30th, a 4-2 victory for the Wild. So time for a little payback.
Yeah, a little bit of payback, and let's face it. I mean, in all honesty, Minnesota could be a team that we face in the first round of the playoffs. So we'll see if that happens. Even if they don't, it doesn't matter because you don't want any team sweeping the season series from you, especially when it's a three-game series. A two-game series, well, it might happen here or there. Actually, that hasn't really happened very often as well. But it's been a great year all so far. But one of the teams that have had the Vegas Golden Knights number up to this point is the Minnesota Wild. They can be a physical team. They can be a very talented team. They do have some talent there. Devin Dubnyk is a great goalie when he's on his A game, although there's some reports that he might not be getting the start tonight, so we'll watch that for you as well. But they are a good team, but they seem like a really inconsistent team. They go on a really hot streak, and then they go on a really cold streak. So I really don't know what to make of them. I do know that Eric Staal is having a great season, and I do know that Mr. Zucker is probably going to enjoy himself being back home and playing an NHL professional hockey game in his former city where he grew up in, something that he never thought was going to happen in his lifetime.
You would have to think for Jason Zucker, as he was coming up through the ranks and sort of dreaming as kids do about what they hope to accomplish in their career, that you probably never thought he would be at right off the strip playing a professional hockey game. So it'll be fun for the crowd, I think, tonight to welcome Jason Zucker home. I expect he will get a rousing ovation when he is put on the Jumbotron, and it's going to be great to see him get to live out that dream right here in fabulous Las Vegas.
Yeah, I have a feeling we might see a Jason Zucker jersey or two in the crowd as well. And yeah, he might have thought, well, I might play on the strip someday, but it's going to be an exhibition game in front of Caesars or one of the games at Thomas and Mack that they used to do, and the Frozen Fury and that kind of stuff that they used to do. But here they are, NHL regular season game, and he might be back here for an NHL playoff game.
He certainly might, but it'll be fun. This is one of those days that I've been looking forward to all season, is to welcome Jason Zucker home. There is some question marks, though, in the starting lineup. You alluded to it. The reports are that we're getting Devin Dubnyk not going to play tonight. It was going to be Alex Stalock. We will have official word for you on the pregame show at 7 o'clock right here on Fox Sports Radio before the puck drop at 7:30. But Alex Stalock has not had a terrible year. He comes in 25 games played. He's 9-10-2, 283 goals against average, 912 save percentage.
Yeah, and I still was a little bit of a head scratcher when they let Darcy Kemper go. I thought that he was actually a pretty quality backup. Now we know that LA has also traded him. He's in Arizona, and Arizona immediately signed him to a contract. I think he's decent, but we'll see if it is Stalock tonight, what that situation is. I do think it's also kind of funny because, you know, I always go to GoldenKnights.com to check out all their news and everything, and they always have the three keys to the game. Well, I like it when they put him up a little bit early so you can see what they're talking about. But today I think maybe they should have waited a little bit because their number two key of the game is who's in goal. On Thursday, Max Lagasse was assigned to Chicago. Malcolm Subban participated in a practice. So will it be Subs? Well, if they would have waited till a little bit later, we know it's going to be Marc-Andre Fleury because Coach Gerard Gallant has already said that. So they might want to update their three keys to the game because it's not a question for Vegas who's playing in goal. We know it is Marc-Andre Fleury.
It is Marc-Andre Fleury. We learned that after practice today at Coach's press conference. Frank and I were both there. Other notes on the roster for tonight. James Neal is back. He will dress. He will play. And it looks like he will play with Jonathan Marchessault and William Karlsson on the top line, as Riley Smith is still a couple games away.
Yeah, and certainly he's a different type of player than Riley Smith, but that line could be fun to watch because Neal was a veteran and there's a lot of different things in the game. We know that Karlsson and Marchessault haven't connected the way that they did with Smith out there. They've had points here and there and they've done some different things, but Marchessault hasn't had a goal now in, I believe, it's six or seven games. So he's on the snide as far as that goes a little bit, and it is seven games. So, you know, you have that factor. They're still playing well, and they're being competitive, but they're not quite putting it in the net. I think that this could be a really nice return and a big way for James Neal to return and something exciting. Now, when Smith comes back, we know Smith is back on that line, but it's always nice to have those options. And if you're going to fill it in with somebody, why not a veteran who's meant as much of this team as James Neal?
And one of the funny moments in the locker room, you were standing in between James Neal and Riley Smith when Riley Smith came in and talked to James Neal about him playing with William Karlsson and Jonathan Marchessault.
Yeah, and Smith kind of he kind of intimated to him, like, oh, you better have a big game tonight or something like that. And Neal was like, well, yeah, I better, it kind of hinted that, maybe I need at least a couple goals or something like that to really show that I belong in this line and that. So, but no, they had some fun with it. But and there might be some chemistry, and they might not know each other super well. But I'm looking forward to that, and it also gives Tatar another chance to play with some guys that he's been playing with a little bit more to see if he finally finds a place where he fits in. And again, we keep on saying every game how he's playing better and it's starting to work out, but it's just not really equating to getting some goals. I'd like to see that line have a big night as well. They need it against Minnesota because you don't want to be swept by this team. Minnesota, are they a playoff team? Are they not? We'll find out in a little while, but you just don't want to lose all three games to the Wild.
One of the funny moments, too, James Neal saying, I've been waiting all season to play with William Karlsson. I better not blank it up. And then he had a nice laugh with Jonathan Marchessault. And it's one of those things that's really good to see James Neal in such high spirits, because as recently we've been seeing, he's been a little bit down in the dumps. He's been disappointed that he can't get out there, missed the road trip, and he's struggling to get back in the lineup. But he was fired up today. He was in great spirits. And I expect a really energetic effort out of him this evening.
Yeah, and he seemed even a little more pep in his step today than there was yesterday. We talked to him a little bit yesterday. There was one of those scrum situations where about five or six guys were around him, and he was basically saying he was looking forward to coming back, and it's difficult, especially when your team's on the road and that, but he's glad that they've had some success here and there. But he's waiting to get back, and I'm sure once he got the word that he is officially with those other guys, well, you know what? It's definitely – we talk about it all the time. In the world, you can set people up for success, or you can set them up for failure. This is certainly a situation setting James Neal up for success in his return. With one of the best lines in the entire NHL, one of those pieces is missing. He gets to be that third piece tonight. It could be a good thing. I think James Neal might be my night to shine later on.
And that would be an excellent choice. I'm with you. I think he's going to have himself one whale of a game, and it's just going to be fun to see those other lines and how they work with each other today. You know, the Tuck and Carpenter and Eakin, and how well those guys have played a little bit together. Was Tuck going to drop down? We might see him with Neal and Perron a little bit tonight. But one of the mainstays starting to pick up and starting to find their feet is the Pierre-Édouard Bellemare, Tomáš Nosek, and Ryan Reeves line. Ryan Reeves taking the Will Carrier position in terms of what he does offensively and the type of player that he is. Those guys are really starting to find some chemistry as well.
Yeah, they're starting to find some chemistry. They're getting more comfortable with each other, and it looks like on and off the ice. It's also interesting that when they do the tip drills at the end of the practices a lot, two of the guys that are in there all the time are Reeves and Bellemare. So... yeah, and a lot of guys do work on it, and they work it at different points. But these two guys seem like they really enjoy each other's company. They're kind of hanging around a little bit together, and that chemistry is there. So we'll see what happens there. But they play a similar game, although they do it in a very different kind of way, because Reeves is just so much bigger than everybody else out there.
He really is. He is a large, large individual, and he... Now, there are two guys that don't look as small next to Reeves, and that's Alex Tuck and Braden McNabb, but both of them still look small next to Ryan Reeves.
Did you happen to catch it today in practice when Reeves scored a goal and him and Tuck were both skating together behind mm-hmm. the ice, and they kind of went to do the chest bump, mm-hmm. and Alex Tuck kind of got knocked back a little bit, and Reeves kind of reached out his arm like to, and I mean, I think Tuck kind of looked at him like, I knew you were big, dude, but... I don't think Alex had been kind of pushed back like that probably since his infancy.
Yeah, it's probably been a long time since Alex Tuck wasn't the biggest guy in the room. But, yeah, Ryan Reeves, and a delightful fellow. We're going to have him on the pregame show, so join us at 7 o'clock tonight. Hear from Ryan Reeves. Nan Duva is going to sit down with Eric Howla as well. But we got to talk to Ryan Reeves today. And then, Frank, you got to spend a little time with Pierre-Édouard Bellemare and talk to him about all the times that he had in Philly. And that seems like it's going to be a fun conversation.
Yeah, no, I mean, I had a blast talking to him. I mean, I think he's a great guy, and I've admired him for a while, and the more I see of him, the more I like his game. And we tried to talk to him a little bit yesterday, but everybody wanted to talk to him after the Philly game, so we got a chance to have a couple of minutes with him today. And I just don't think he's getting enough credit for that game-winning goal that they had against Philadelphia, so I basically opened it up with asking him about that goal and asked him how he would describe it to people that hadn't seen it, because he was around the boards doing all the dirty work, found Cody Eakin. Eakin does the no-look pass. Carpenter buries it. They're talking about Carpenter. They're talking about Eakin. I don't think Pierre-Édouard was getting nearly enough credit. And, well, this is what he said about it.
I think it looked better than what I was expecting to do. Like, I just tried to win the puck and not, like, lose the battle down low. We've been on the ice for a long time, so I'm just trying to somehow reset it behind the net. And the defenseman came a little too hard, so the only choice I had was to try to make the puck go through him. But then he kind of read it, so I had to make it go through the other way, and then I had to battle to get the puck to Cody. So, I mean, to be honest, that was not a move I was intending to do, but it looked pretty cool.
When you saw Cody Eakin there, did you see Ryan Carpenter also coming down, or did you just throw it to Cody and then Ryan was screaming for it?
It went so fast because, like, we kind of had won the puck, lost the puck, won the puck, lost the puck. So when the puck went down the corner, I just saw I was going against Simmons in the battle. The only thing I was thinking first, like, all right, win that battle. And when the puck came to my my left side, then I was like, all right, try to make a play. But at that time, I didn't see Cody. Cody was a little bit more in front of net. And then when I kind of almost lost the puck, I saw Cody behind the net. So that's why I just tried to put check it to him, and he made an unbelievable play.
The fact that you had just put one off the post a little bit before that, and then you were crucial in the game-winning goal, was it extra special because it was against Philadelphia?
Yeah, I would be lying if I said the opposite. I mean, obviously, it's a team I play there. It's my, like I said before the game, I barely have anything negative about to say about this team, but just to be able to win against them, it was a little bit special. I mean, they beat us here, so it was just normal to return the favor there.
4-1 on the road trip, then you come back Tuesday night in New Jersey. That's in the rearview mirror now. That's over. How important is it that you guys get back to the winning ways tonight against Minnesota, who's another one of those teams fighting for their playoff lives?
Well, you at this time of the year, I mean, even from the beginning of the season, we've been like put an emphasis on not like, you know, letting those losing streaks going on. Like, you know, like try to make sure you keep them short, and when you have winning streaks, you keep them long. And that's where we are right now. And so we lost last game. It's behind us, but it's still sour. We lost last game, so we got to be a better effort to win tonight. And it's a team that, you know, it's getting close to playoff game, and it's a team that's probably going to be there. So just have to make sure we're playing strong tonight.
All right. How important is it that you guys just get back to the winning ways at home in general to let everybody know that come playoff time that T-Mobile is a place they do not want to come to?
Exactly. You just said it. Like, you want people to come. Team to come in here and be like, oh, we don't like this rink, you know, it's a tough rink to play against, and this is what we want. So to be able to achieve this kind of feeling around the league, we have to make sure we're as strong as possible at home.
How's the family doing?
Family's doing great. Happy to see them again.
And that is Pierre-Edouard Bellemare having a fun, even in the wake of a bad game against New Jersey. Like what he said, it's sour, but it's in the rearview mirror.
And you know what else I like about it? When I asked him about did it mean a little bit more to Philadelphia, so many players in so many sports are going to say, well, it's just another game. I'd be lying if I said that it didn't. Yeah, so you know what? He's an honest guy. Most of the guys on the team are like that. They're not afraid to say when it does mean a little bit more, there's a little bit more to it or something. So, you know, kudos to them. And again, it is in the rearview mirror. We kind of thought that might be a flat spot and a tough spot for them. Good for New Jersey. Now go ahead and beat those other teams in California as well since you beat the Vegas Golden Knights. But tonight, the bottom line is Vegas still is in the driver's seat. They hold their own destiny. They need to get the win, beat Minnesota, and get ready to get back to the winning ways.
They do, and you'd mentioned about getting ready for the playoffs, and they hadn't clinched yet. There is a team, though, Frank, that can do that tonight. Nashville is able to clinch their spot in the playoffs if they defeat the Avalanche in regulation or overtime tonight. There are some outlying situations if there are other results that they can also clinch tonight, but win and you're in tonight for Nashville. What an accomplishment that would be for them.
Yeah, and it would be an accomplishment, but let's be honest. They're in the playoffs. It doesn't matter what happens tonight. They have 102 points in 70 games, the most in that amount of games this season. They've actually taken over Tampa Bay for the leading spot in the entire NHL. This team is absolutely on fire, and I'm not going to call myself Frank Stradamus or something like that because I said that I thought that this has been the team to beat since before the season started in the West and maybe in the entire NHL. They're playing incredible. They're adding pieces. They did lose a piece today as well, which could be a big piece for them, but with Fisher back and everything else they have right now, I truly think the Predators are the team to beat for the Stanley Cup this year. And Pecorine is playing out of his mind. 10-0 in his last 10 starts.
10-0 in his last 10 starts. And the part that you had alluded to that they have lost, Kaly Yarncroak out for the rest of the season, upper body injury.
Yeah, he's a nice player and he's a good player for him, but he's not like the key player that's going to just have everything fall apart because they have a lot of depth. They have a lot of talent. This is a team that is making a lot of statements out there. And as good as Winnipeg's been playing, they've actually opened up an 8-point lead over the Jets in the Central. And by the way, your Vegas Golden Knights with 95, well, 102, They've got a 7-point lead over them as well. Nashville is playing out of their mind. I would be shocked if they're not the number one seed in the West.
Yeah, it's going to look like the road to the West will run through Nashville, but they have an opportunity to be the first team to punch their ticket to the second season tonight as they face the Avalanche. Well, we said we would have tickets, and tickets we have. They are for tonight's game, 7:30, a start time against the Minnesota Wild. And if you want those tickets, call us now, 702-876-1340. That's 702-876-1340. And Frank, you want to pick the number today?
Yeah, all right. Let's go ahead. Let's go with number 29. Marc-Andre Fleury's played incredible this season, so let's give Flower a little love out there. Just won his 400th game recently. 29 in honor of Marc-Andre Fleury. 702-876-1340 for those tickets against the Wild tonight.
Tonight, those will be yours. When we come back, Andrew Ferentz of the NHL front office is going to check in with us right here on the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey in the Valley.
15 seconds, a 4-on-4. Ferentz off the bench, moving in. Ferentz wide, Bergen, and he scores! Andrew Ferentz, overtime winner!
And welcome back, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Congratulations to Chris. You got those tickets to go see the Minnesota Wild tonight. So enjoy the game. Clayton Hamilton, Frank Harnish, Chris Chapman behind the board here in Las Vegas. And we are very pleased to have our next guest join us. Andrew Ferentz has just joined the National Hockey League front office as the Director of Social Impact Growth and Fan Development. Of course, you remember the former defenseman played for the Penguins, the Flames, the Bruins, and the Oilers. And he was kind enough to spend a little time with us today. Welcome, Andrew.
Hey, that was nice of you guys to pull up a goal call. That was fantastic.
Hey, you know, we like anything that involves the Anaheim Ducks losing, and so watching you beat Jonas Hiller was fun for everyone in the building.
Well, it's good to hear you guys already have the rivalry built up, so that's good. I like that.
Yeah, anything Southern California, we are anti here in fabulous Las Vegas. So Kings, Ducks, both are on the list of teams that we enjoy beating.
You can add Northern California to that, too.
Oh, yeah,
we're not big fans of the Sharks either.
Yeah, we're just waiting for California.
Basically, Western North America.
Yeah, well, we're just waiting for California to fall into the ocean so we can have some beachfront property here in Las Vegas. And we're all okay with that. We want to get into what your new position is with the NHL. But before we get into that, we have a question we like to ask every world champion that is on our program, somebody that has won the cup, has hoisted the cup. Do you remember who gave you the cup and who you gave the cup to?
Oh, man. That's a really good question. That might be a blur to me. I think I gave it to Michael Ryder. I can't remember, to be honest. No.
Okay. Do you remember what you did with the cup the day you had it?
Oh, my God, of course. Yeah, that I remember.
I'll throw the softball ones because I'm the nice guy.
I think the tears in my eyes were at the when whoever was handing to me, I can't even remember. That's a really good question. I'll have to go back and like look at the video. It was what an emotional time. Holy smokes. But my day with the cup, I was actually lucky because I had it last on the whole team. So I actually could plan out a really good day over the course of the whole summer. And so I actually took it into Boston where – myself and my family had lived for a few years, and my kids were going to school, so we took it and shared it with their school. We went to the rehabilitation hospital and shared it with some friends there. And then I lived in the north end of Boston, so anybody that's been to the north end is they'll know that it's full of Italian restaurants and Italians, and if you go there during the summer, it's full of Saints parades. They parade the Saints through the streets of the North End. And so we had a Saint Stanley parade right through the streets of the North End. And I think the whole neighborhood came down. And I don't think I paid for a plate of pasta for a while close to my house. So we had a good time. It was awesome.
But that's great. And getting ready, I imagine, for St. Patrick's Day tomorrow. And for as much fun as St. Patrick's Day is here in Las Vegas, nobody does it like Boston and New York City.
And it's my birthday. So I've been lucky. I have St. Patty's Day birthday, which actually, unfortunately, it was almost a tease because we almost always played on St. Patrick's Day. So now that I'm retired, I can actually live it up and enjoy the day.
Could be worse, Andrew. You could be like me. My birthday is the 18th, the day after St. Patrick's Day, and everyone was always hungover, and nobody wanted to go out.
You should just pretend that it's on the 17th. That would be good advice.
You have recently joined the NHL as the Director of Social Impact Growth and Fan Development. That is a mouthful. What does that mean?
Man, I'm getting the same question from a lot of people, including my kids. They're like, what is that? But we were actually just down in Vegas for our club business meeting, so I got to both enjoy the Knights game, Golden Knights game the other night, although they didn't enjoy it that much, I guess. But what a great atmosphere. But before we enjoyed the game, we had a couple days of meetings with all the clubs, and you know, really my job is a lot with the social responsibility folks at different clubs. And that ranges everything from developing good youth hockey and learn-to-play programs to how we incorporate Hockey Fights Cancer and Hockey is for Everyone programming. We work with NHL Green, which looks at different sustainability initiatives that we're taking, which for the most part now NHL Green has developed into more of a way of doing business. So, you know, to break it into the details of that, we work with we're starting to work with community hockey rinks. So where minor hockey takes place, a lot of these rinks are old. We're looking at finding solutions for some of these rinks so that it can operate, incorporate more sustainable technologies into the arena, so they can actually lower their operating costs and make hockey more available, or keep their businesses open for that matter. So, it's pretty wide ranging. Everything from the very feel good projects within the NHL to things like Green, to also working with government officials. So working with the different mayors in both NHL markets as well as some non-traditional markets that we're trying to engage things like street hockey in. So I am all over the map. There's a lot on my plate, but also it's all completely awesome stuff and really fun. I get to basically celebrate the game of hockey and get other people to love it for all the good things that it is. Like, I'm sure you guys have seen a lot of people fall in love with the game in Vegas this year.
Yeah, and certainly, and one thing I would imagine that's also helping out in cities like Vegas and certainly Seattle with them looking like they're going to get a team in that, new markets, I'm sure, makes your job easier and probably a little bit more fun too. But also the new thing that you guys have going on with EA Sports and the big tournament that you're going to be coming out here to Las Vegas, and that I would imagine that gets a lot of next-gen kids in that are into the video games that are now going to keep a closer eye on hockey in general as well.
Well, we truly have to embrace hockey in all forms. So that is expanded into esports. I think we can do bigger expansion into street hockey in a meaningful way, which for a lot of communities is a lot easier access point than ice hockey. Obviously, roller hockey was big for a while in Southern California. We saw some great success with that. And then even, I don't know if you guys have been watching the sled hockey over the Paralympics, but
yep.
Man, it's just incredible, incredible stuff. So, the women's game. I mean, we have so much area for growth within the game of hockey, and the NHL can play a huge role in helping to develop those in a meaningful way. You know, more than just saying that we support all forms. We're looking at meaningful ways that we can actually do these things in different communities. So it's pretty neat. You know, the demographics of both the United States and Canada are changing quickly, and if you don't find, you know, ways to stay relevant and ways to engage the new fans and the new communities and really keep pace with, you know, all the other options that people have in life to go and spend their time on. You'll fall behind pretty quickly if you're not taking care of those things.
One of the things that we followed over the summer was the Florida Panthers calling themselves the team of the Caribbean. They sent some guys down to Barbados. We saw that the Mexican men's and women's team both won their international tournament of Central and South America. Are you involved in sort of the internationalization of hockey throughout the Americas as well?
Well, I think some of the ideas spill over. We have an international group within the NHL, so that's a separate department. But part of the mandate is also to do a lot more interdepartment work. So I think, you know, like I said, if you're developing hockey programs for parts of the Sun Belt and into your area of the United States where we're seeing massive population growth, a lot of that will cross over into the international game. Like I said, you're looking for easier access points to our sport. And, streets, roller, different forms of hockey. Obviously, ice hockey will work in certain markets, but just the lack of infrastructure in some of the places where you're really trying to have an impact limits you. So we really do have to look at all forms. I was recently just in India for a couple weeks, and I played with their national teams, their men's and women's teams, but they're up in the Himalayas. And so a certain region of India loves hockey. They have teams all over the place. They have youth playing. They have the army and the military all playing. But the rest of India, ice hockey is not such a such a feasible option in the short term. So I think you do look at other forms of the game that that can at least introduce people to the sport in one form or another, and then it can hopefully be a gateway to a bigger impact on the ice as well.
How important has it been for you and for the NHL overall with, like, Vegas getting a team? And you see in the Sticks for Kids programs that they've done, and they have done more of the roller hockey stuff and getting kids used to it even when they couldn't have ice. And now, of course, they have City National Arena. And like I mentioned before, Seattle looking like they're about to have a team. I know Houston is the fourth largest city in America, and there's a lot of talk that maybe they're looking to expand. So not places that are non-traditional that have been successful. And then a place like Nashville, who's been around for a while, but they've had their most success recently, and it seems like hockey's exploded even though it's been there for 30 years.
There's nothing better than us to have examples of places that have worked well. And so we were singing Vegas's praises over the weekend, like I said, at the meetings about how many great programs they've done, how quickly they've done them, and really engaged with the community. There's a lot to be learned from clubs that do it right. But, you know, it does take time. You know, in a lot of markets, it takes time to build up that ice hockey fandom and that generation of people that grew up with the game, that understand it, that you know, see it more than just kind of an entertaining game, but actually fall in love with the sport itself and the culture that hockey comes with. You know, I think it's such an amazing group of people that are involved in hockey. The lessons you learn when you're a kid. You know, we all know that's a special sport. But if you're outside of the sport, you don't really see that. You don't know that. So I think it's our job to make sure that people realize, you know, that side of the game. And if that's with a stick in your hand, playing street or roller, that's fine. You know, that's a great introduction to the game. And like you said, as infrastructure develops, as the market develops, you know, you hope to transfer some of that love from shooting a ball or a puck or any form of hockey. You transfer that love into a love for hockey in general. So, you know, you have to be realistic with some of the markets that you're trying to get into and see which ways you can be most impactful.
Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. Andrew Ferentz, a former Penguin, Flame, Oiler, and Stanley Cup champion with the Boston Bruins, joining us. He's the director of the National Hockey League Social Impact Growth and Fan Development. And one of the things that you're involved with also is the NHL Goes Green. You have sort of a long history of being involved with the environment. What is the NHL Green program?
Well, it's evolved. I mean, when I first started NHLPA initiative through the union, where we offset our we went carbon neutral for the whole year and all of our travel that evolved into, you know, more players. I think we had 500 and some players go carbon neutral at one point with the NHLPA, and the NHL really picked up on that and expanded it and started NHL Goes Green. So there's everything from water preservation going on to going carbon neutral, different things. But it's evolved into a way of doing business as well. I know for a lot of our clubs, we have best practices as far as which companies that we can help them out with. So the Oilers up here in Edmonton recently building a new arena. You know, which technologies can they put in right away to both save energy, to save water? They can learn from other teams about waste diversion, and so to really run a very efficient business. So sustainability plays a part. Obviously, it's great for the environment to incorporate some of these technologies. But even from an operational standpoint, the cost of running an efficient building is obviously good business. So doing it right from the start, whether you have to retrofit, we can help teams out with that. And like I said, point to good examples of what other teams have done to whether it's, you know, through the LED lighting, we're seeing massive savings on that. Even down to the level of which cleaning products to use to to be more efficient with them and incorporate like lower VOCs and a better environment for the fans to come enjoy the game. So the next kind of level of NHL Green, which some of my colleagues are working on, is a community rinks initiative. And so that's going down to the even smaller level of working with minor hockey rinks and community rinks throughout North America and Canada and helping them run more efficiently. There's plenty of rinks that are built in the 70s, 80s, older rinks, some extremely inefficient. And when you have that, their operating costs are very high. And so some of them, you know, can go out of business just because they can't stay operating at that cost, or else they have to jack up the price of ice time for kids to cover the costs. So we're looking at ways to help them as well with best practices and ways for them to incorporate some technology or change some of the practices, some of even through smart building systems to run their businesses more efficiently. Because to have a successful ice hockey league, you need kids playing hockey. So it's imperative that we help them out as well at a community rink level.
All right. Well, it's been great for you to take some time out and join us. We appreciate your time. And real quick, though, before you go, have you ever seen anything like what Vegas has been able to do in their first year?
Nobody has. You know the answer to that. It's absolutely incredible. But beyond what they've been able to do, I mean, that was a lot of fun at the game. You guys are putting on a good show, both before I even got into the arena, on the outside, when you get inside the arena. I mean, it was a fantastic experience, and there's a lot to learn. I'm glad we had club meetings down there, because I think every NHL team was at the building and got to see what you guys are doing, and I think they can learn a lot from what you guys have done and continue to do. So, I mean, I can't imagine what playoffs will be like. It'll be absolutely insane down there. So look forward to seeing that.
Yeah, and to help to grow the sport even more, maybe you can put a good word in for us to get a Frozen Four out here and let everybody experience Vegas.
Oh, I like that. All right.
Yeah,
you got to get that NCAA team into Division One. Yeah,
we keep talking about whenever the Raiders come and they build that stadium, that we need to incorporate the love of the outdoor game with the Las Vegas tradition of the midnight game, the midnight outdoor game, a Las Vegas tradition. What do you think?
Well, hey, that's not my department, but I could definitely see some fun in that. Do people in Vegas stay up late? I don't know.
Well, the old Wranglers, when they were here,
I
they used to
play. I thought it was early bedtime
yeah.
in Vegas, wasn't it?
No, bedtime's like 5 o'clock in the morning. But, they used to have midnight games out when the Wranglers were here, the minor league team, and they were wildly successful.
That's pretty cool. All right, I like that.
Yeah, and the way that we could work it, too, because I know the Players Association might not like it, it'd be two teams right before their bye week so they don't have to worry about everybody being tired out.
Yeah, but you think guys would want to spend their bye week in Vegas? I don't know.
Yeah, that's tough sell. Well, thank you, Andrew Ferentz, for joining us. We hope to maybe talk with you over the summer after you get your feet wet in the new job and get some updates for you.
Okay, thanks, fellas. Have fun the rest of the year.
Will do. Thank you. It was Andrew Ferentz, the NHL Director of Social Impact Growth and Fan Development. When we come back, Frank and I are going to dive into some postseason awards and what the Writers Association is going to do about them right here on the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey in the Valley. And welcome back. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show wrapping it up on a Friday, a game day, 6:30. That'd be 7 o'clock for the pregame, 7:30 for the puck drop. So a little late night hockey on a Friday. Minnesota Wild coming to town for the first time. Frank and I will be there the whole way. All the intermission reports and the postgame show as well. Should be a good time to welcome Jason Zucker back home for Minnesota.
Yeah, late night tonight and then early game on Sunday. Mm-hmm. So early 1 o'clock game Sunday afternoon. So if you're making your plans, make sure that you do them accordingly for this St. Paddy's Day weekend. I think
That's
you
right.
might see a little green, and there might be a little bit of adult beverages this weekend as well.
There might. 12:30 for the pregame show, 1 o'clock puck drop on Sunday against the Flames. But Frank, we all know the NHL awards coming back to town. They're in June on the 20th, and a little bit of a new procedure when it comes to the election of those awards.
Yeah, in case you've sometimes looked at some of the awards and go, well, why did somebody vote for this or that or whatever, because you're thinking maybe they had a few too many adult beverages and they don't know what they're doing. Well, now you'll be able to see exactly who votes for who, because the Professional Hockey Writers Association has decided to reveal each voter's ballot for the 2018 NHL Awards. After debating the subject for months, the PHWA voted 81.3% in favor of the decision. Approximately 170 ballots are to be revealed. So if you disagree with somebody whose choices, or if you're wondering how somebody didn't get votes or did or whatever, you can literally look at everybody's ballot and see how each individual voted and therefore make your own conclusions on who got it right and who got it wrong.
You know, I believe that Jesse Granger of the Las Vegas Sun, who will join us on the pregame show tonight, is a voting member, and perhaps we should have him reveal his ballot right here on the show and face the wrath of the fans.
That's not a bad idea. But I have a feeling Jesse's going to get most of them right.
Yeah, he probably will.
He's pretty down-to-earth guy. Pretty level-headed.
We like Jesse Granger. Jesse Granger going to join us at 7 o'clock for the pregame show. We're going to hear from Ryan Reeves as well. Dan Duva is going to sit down with Eric Howla, so be sure to join us 7 o'clock tonight right here on Fox Sports Radio 98.9 FM 1340 AM, and then puck drop at 7:30, intermission reports, post-game show as well. If you're near the beer house or you're near section 212, 213, come on by and say hello and enjoy the game tonight.
Yeah, and I don't care if it is St. Patrick's Day weekend. Do not wear green tonight. You'll look like a Minnesota fan.
Yeah, nobody wants that. Well, that's going to do it for us. Stick right here, though. A very special NCAA tournament edition of the T.C. Martin Show coming up. T.C. Martin, the doctor, is next.